The word today is caramel. Welcome to The Word Today with Pastor and Bible Teacher Douglas Schrader. Christians do not usually look for fights, but there is inevitably spiritual conflict between believers and those who do evil. In the Old Testament, we're told of a location called Mount Carmel, where the prophet Elijah opposed 950 false spiritual leaders. Here with the story of this seemingly outnumbered man is Pastor Douglas Schrader on The Word Today, Carmel.
Mount Carmel in the Old Testament was a scene of one of the most historic and important fights in the Old Testament. It might be more accurate to call it a showdown like they used to have in the old-time television Western shows, was where you had a good guy and a bad guy facing each other in the street, and they would watch and try to time it so that when the first one drew, he would get the advantage and he could possibly shoot the other one dead. It was supposed to be even and a fair and a clean fight, and it was supposed to prove who would end up living and who would die. Well, that's exactly the kind of thing we see taking place on Mount Carmel, a showdown between Elijah, the true prophet of the living God, and about 950 false prophets and priests of various pagan deities. Elijah was called upon by God to have this showdown to prove that the Lord God was real. And it's quite a scene because in this showdown, two altars are built. By the way, this is in 1 Kings chapter 18, where you can read about it in the Old Testament. And so obviously it was during the time of the kings of Israel. And Elijah was supposed to be a counselor to the king. And this is part of the big problem that was taking place in Israel at the time, was that the kings who had political authority were not listening to the governance and the guidance of the prophets. The prophets were to counsel the kings and to gain advice and insight and were to listen to the prophet of the Lord. But as time went on in the ancient country of Israel, the kings got more and more calloused, and they did not listen to the voice of the Lord until it got to be so bad that you ended up with a king and a queen like Ahab and Jezebel. They were probably about the two worst king and queen characters in the Old Testament. And so Elijah had to confront them in order to demonstrate God's authority and power. Now, as we were saying, this showdown consisted of two altars being built. The pagan priests built the altar to Baal, an idol, and Elijah built an altar to the Lord. And Elijah had this particular demand, this particular challenge that he issued to the Israelites that day. In 1 Kings 18, verse 21, Elijah went before the people, and he said, "How long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him." So it was a showdown. Which God would be true? In the end, we see that the priests of Baal dance around the altar and they cut themselves to let blood flow in order to invoke their deity, but nothing happens. In the case of Elijah, after they had spent all day beseeching their God, Elijah simply went to the altar of the Lord and he prayed a simple prayer, "Answer me, O Lord, answer me. so these people will know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you are turning their hearts back again. And it says in the text, then the fire of the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, the soil, and also licked up the water in the trench. Because Elijah had actually even drenched the entire altar and offering several times. And the Lord sent down fire, which might have been in the form of lightning, and he obliterated the entire sacrifice. Well, the people that day found out that the Lord God is the real God. And sometimes people think that they can have a half allegiance to God, or that they can dance between deities. In other words, that they can have a part-time commitment to God, but then go off and be committed to other false beliefs and false gods. And they try to play this game as though they can test the patience of the Lord. This is a very, very dangerous thing to do. And that's why Elijah called an end to it when he said, how long will you waver between two opinions? What's interesting here is that the word that Elijah used for wavering is also the same word used in verse 26 when it describes these people that were dancing around the altar of Baal, this frenzied dancing that they did to try to get the attention of their God. I guess we could maybe call it the pagan prance, or possibly the spiritual shuffle. The idea being that even today, people still get in their mind that they can dance around from one place to the next, that they can spend time near God and then wander away and do their own thing, that they don't always have to be near God, so they'll run back and forth in their mind, and they'll try to live according to their own principles and concepts, but when things get bad, or when God seems like he's going to judge, then suddenly we come running back in order to get good with God once again. That's a game that has to stop. The Lord is not impressed with people that dance around in their commitment and don't stay committed to him. And if you've been playing this game, it's time you gave it up. You're not going to be doing yourself any favors by pretending to be committed to God when you're out trying to live your life on your own terms. You're only hurting yourself. In fact, in the book of James in the New Testament, James doesn't pull any punches. He says it very clearly when he is chastising the Christians that are doing this pagan prance, this dancing around between worldliness and godliness. James says this, "You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred toward God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think that Scripture says without reason that the spirit he caused to live in us envies intensely?" The Lord is not willing to give up his worship and glory and honor to false gods. Whether it's the false god made of brick or stone or represented by some totem or a mountain, the true God of the universe demands that you recognize him. Because after all, he is the God who has redeemed you. He's the God who gave you life and breath, and he's the God who has sent a Savior, Jesus, to suffer and die in your place for your sins. You can't impress this God, and you can't fool this God. You think that you're going to be able to just fake him out as though you can live your life without any commitment or without any intent on showing and demonstrating your loyalty and love to him? And then all of a sudden, when you're challenged or when your sins are coming knocking on your door and the consequences, that suddenly now he's going to be fooled? Don't play that game. That's insulting. God certainly isn't going to be impressed by that. You need to understand that just as God won the day on Mount Carmel, and he showed the people that they should be loyal to him, so also there was a great battle taking place for you, for your soul, when Jesus Christ was placed on that cross. When he suffered and died, there was this huge cosmic conflict between the Lord and Satan. And it was all in fighting over you, because Satan wanted to destroy God's creatures, but the Lord wanted to redeem us. And when Jesus died on that cross, I want you to note that in the New Testament, there were displays and signs of his power and of God's majesty in things like an earthquake taking place, the sky growing dark. The dead were raised from their tombs. The curtain in the temple was torn asunder. And just like that great display of power on Mount Carmel in evaporating that altar and sacrifice, God was demonstrating his power and authority when Jesus Christ died for our sins. He won this victory over Satan. And he did it the same way that he did Mount Carmel. He demonstrated his superiority and his power. But in this particular instance, it was in order to show his love and grace. So you need to understand that God calls you to loyalty, and you need to give your heart and mind over to him, to say to yourself, I'm not going to run back and forth between ungodliness and the Lord. I'm going to commit myself to him, and I'm going to love him and honor him because of his son, Jesus Christ. Don't do the pagan prance. Don't shuffle back and forth between idols and the true God. Stay committed to him. Stay with your Lord Jesus Christ. He's been given to you so that you might be redeemed. Remain loyal to the one true God who has saved you from your sin.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for the Word today. We hope that you were blessed by the message. Did you know that you can find the Word today on the web at thewordtoday.org? There you can listen to sermons and read responses from listeners from around the world. We would love to hear from you. So visit thewordtoday.org to write or send us an email. And if God moves you to send a gift to support the Word today, you can do so by credit card at the website. Your free will offering helps this program stay on the air and allows us to add new languages and stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. There are no salaries or administrative costs at the Word today, so all of your gift is used for spreading God's Word by radio and the web. The Word today is heard in more than 50 languages worldwide, and as our ministry grows, we hope to add even more. One of our goals is to have the Word today translated instantly into 20 languages and made available for streaming or download on thewordtoday.org. If you would like to give to support these efforts, please visit thewordtoday.org. That's thewordtoday.org. Each week at this time, The Word Today brings you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your daily life. We hope that you will share this week's lesson with your friends and family, and that you will join us again next week for The Word Today.